Welcome to the modern way. Trying to be somebody I'm not, but it's not what I want. Tell me there's another way. All of the lights are chased and now faded. All the cheap thrills were only time wasted. Tell me what society's plan should define who I am. Surely there's a higher way. All of my best friends are sick of pretending. We want the truth. So much is missing, so give us the real thing. I know it's you. All of my best friends. Stereotype to decide who I am. It never knew me anyway. I'm over trying to find the next high, cause the high never lasts. I'ma go another way. All of the lights are chased and now faded. Dealer was right, the times they are changing. Tell me where society's plan should define who I am. Surely there's a higher way. All of my best friends are sick. Best friends.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome tonight to our Wednesday night Bible study. Lord bless you guys. I hope you're doing well. Hope you've had a great week. Amen. God's good, isn't he? All the time. And so, hey, thanks for being with us. I see some of you are already joining on here. You got on a little early. Thank you for that. Sandra, good to see you. And Charlotte and Stephanie and Judy and Claire. I'm sure Wayne is probably there. Larry. Other people will be joining on here in just a minute. We'll give them a few seconds to jump on. There's Jeanette. Hey, girl, how you doing? Amen. Lord bless you guys. I know it's probably been a busy day for you. Hey, Cheryl, Lord bless you. Good to see you tonight. Amen. Yeah, I see you, Clara. Lord bless you guys. I see your name. I can't see you, but amen. Well, hey, Easter's right around the corner, so let me just encourage you. We celebrate Resurrection Sunday this coming Sunday. I want you to come join us, please. I know that for some, Easter and Christmas is probably the most two attended days of the year for people in church. But I just encourage you, don't let it just be an Easter experience, a one-day, a two-day, a year experience. Come be a part of what God is doing. I'm going to tell you what, God is good and God is faithful every Sunday, every Wednesday. And so I just invite you to come and be a part of that. Hey, Don, good to see you. Mom, Lord bless you for watching tonight. Amen. Good to have you with us. Amen. So just come be with us Sundays, 10:30 a.m. Sunday morning. We'll be celebrating at the Holiday Inn Express, and then our Spanish congregation will be meeting at 12:30, just right after us. And so just encourage you to come be a part of that. We miss you when you're not there. Amen. And God's really been speaking some awesome words to us, and we just want you to come and be with us as you hear what God has to say to you as well. I heard a funny story about an elderly woman who walked into a local country church, and the friendly usher greeted her at the door and helped her up the final set of steps. And as they entered into the church, he said, "Where would you like to sit, ma'am?" politely to her. She said, "The front row, please." And the usher responded, "Well, you really don't want to do that. The pastor is really boring." She looked at the usher and said, "Well, do you happen to know who I am?" The usher replied, "No, ma'am, I do not know who you are." She said, "Well, I'm the pastor's mother." The usher looked back at her and said, "Well, do you know who I am?" To which she said, "No, I do not." He said, "Good." "Well, I know who you are. Do you know who I am?" And, you know, if I'm boring, I'm so sorry for that. I don't mean to be boring to you. I want to be exciting, and I want my ministry to be exciting, and the Word of God is exciting. If there's any loss in the presentation of it, it's not God's fault or the Word's fault. It's your pastor's fault. But God is so good, and he's so faithful. And I just want you to hang with us. I know sometimes, you know, people can't endure too long on videos, but you know, this is one of the two times of the week that we get to share with your hearts. And so sometimes, you know, it 30 to 45 minutes, try not to be that long, but at times I know it gets drawn out. But just if you hang in there with us and do your best just to stay and hear all the word that God has for us, because sometimes if you get the first and miss the last, sometimes you miss some key important parts of what God is wanting to say to you. But I really appreciate you. Mike Edwards, good to see you, my friend. Lord bless you. Hang in there with us and watch if you can. And maybe encourage somebody else. Send out a text message real quick and say, "Hey, check us out. We're live on Facebook right now," and be a part of Vertical Life Church. And you know, you never know. All you can do is invite people. God is the one that speaks to people's hearts, right? And so, you know, you don't have anything to lose but just reach out to people and say, "Hey, join us tonight as we get ready to study God's Word." And we're going to get started here in just a minute, but let's first of all go to the Lord in prayer. And you know, if you have a prayer request, you're more than welcome to put that in the comments if you'd like to, or just say I have a prayer need, or you can text me if you need to at a later time. But we just definitely want to pray for you. And if you have a need, we want to remember you. I know our children's teacher, Sandra, she's really having some issues with her knee. And we just want to pray for her tonight that God would give her healing in her body. And I know Pastor Augustine's wife, Veronica, is having issues with her knee, some arthritic conditions. Had to have a shot in her knee. And so we just want to lift up both of these precious ladies to the Lord. And I'm sure there's many other needs, and I don't mean to single anybody out or miss anybody, but you know who you are. And if you have a need tonight, definitely, I know, Stephanie, we had been praying for your mom too, so keep praying for her. for the needs in her life. So can you just join with me tonight and let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll get started so maybe I won't be too lengthy tonight. There you go. Amen. Join with me in prayer. Father, thank you tonight for this wonderful day you've given us to just come celebrate you, Lord. Lord, to celebrate your word, to hear what you have to say to us, Lord. I believe your word is relevant for every generation and for every season and every moment. And Lord, we just need to take the time to listen, to hear, to read, to meditate on your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet, the Bible says, and a light into our path. And it also says that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's powerful, Lord. And when your word goes about, it does not return back void, the scripture says. So Lord, speak your word. Lord, I just pray you speak your word into people's lives, people that have needs. God, heal their bodies. Heal these both of these knees, Lord, for Sandra and Veronica, Lord. We just declare victory for both of them tonight, that you'd renew their health, their strength. For Stephanie's mom, we just pray for her. Lift her up to you tonight. I know Clara's having a heart shocking this week because of some AFib. So we pray for Clara right now that you'd bring that heart, Lord, into full rhythm and balance. Lord, I command that beating right now to come into order and alignment, Lord, according to your word. I declare it by your stripes. All of these are healed already, and we just speak over them, Lord, right now. And we pray that in all things you would receive the glory and the honor and the praise. And we bless you. Bless this moment tonight that we get to share your word and hear it. And we give you thanks for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, we pray for you, Gary, as well, that God would touch you. I know you have some needs in your body, so definitely keep praying for Gary and for all the other needs that there are out there. So amen. Say hi to one another if you want to. And feel free to type comments. Amen. You know, I like to see those every now and then when we're teaching God's word, just to know that you're listening. And every now and then, I might even ask you to type something in the comment section yourself. Well, tonight is part two of a series that we're doing on covenants of God. You know, the Bible gives us many covenants. We're going to study just some of the general basic, the highlighted covenants that God gives us. A lot of people, if it just depends on who you're studying and what commentaries you're using, will say there's anywhere from 7 to 8 covenants in the Word, covenants between man and man as well. But mostly, I'm going to key on the covenants between God and man. And for the next few weeks. And last week was kind of an intro to this, but today I want to start off with one of the first covenants, I believe, and some people don't even include this in the first covenant, but I believe you can't really overlook the beginning of the Bible as we seek God's plan and see what God is doing throughout his word. And so this is part two tonight. You know, it is said that a covenant is a formal binding agreement or a pledge between two parties. It's like a contract. But while a contract is a legal agreement involving specific terms and requirements, a covenant is a life agreement in which the parties pledge themselves to one another. You know, a marriage is a form of a contract or a covenant, I should say. And God has made covenants with his people. You see, friends, I believe that when we come into covenant with God, that we are making a lifetime agreement with him. We are pledging that God will be our God and that we will serve him as so. You see, that's what God has pledged to us, that he would be our God and he would take care of our needs. And it's our responsibility to what? Is to interact with that agreement and that covenant and to do our part to serve God and to reserve ourselves only unto him. You know, Peter Gentry and Stephen Woolham, in two books that they wrote, one called The Kingdom Through Covenant and the other book called God's Kingdom Through God's Covenant, said that the covenants are not the central theme of Scripture. We know that Jesus Christ is the central theme of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. His coming prophesied and predicted and just looked forward to, and then the fulfillment of that in the New Testament. But really, the covenants form the backbone of Bible meta-narrative, and it's the essential part that correctly discerns or helps us discern accurately the whole counsel of God. Yes, Jesus is the theme of the Word of God, right? But the covenants, what? They kind of form that backbone to God's Word that helps us understand who Jesus is and all that God was doing in the beginning all the way to the coming in Revelation. Covenants are really kind of a sort of a skeletal structure. And we have to put them together rightly, really to fully understand God's word. Because I believe that Old Testament covenants, amen, are just what are pointing to the New Testament covenant that was to come. You know, when we come to the Bible, we can see, first of all, that there is a beginning. Tonight, I want to talk a little bit about the Adamic covenant, the beginning of God's word to us as we know it anyway. And you know, when we come to the Bible, we know there's a beginning because the Bible says, in the beginning was God, right? Amen. And in the beginning, God did this. God formed the earth, and he did what? He separated the light and the darkness and the land masses and the vapors up above and the vapors below and began to create all the vegetation and all the plant. But the word says in the very beginning in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. You see, the Bible makes us understand and helps us to understand that there was a beginning for us. Now, maybe for God, he's always been and he'll always be. But for us and for what we understand as humanity, there was a beginning. And we know that it's all because of who God is. And that's what the Bible helps us understand, that there is a beginning. The Bible also helps us see when we come to it that there's not only a beginning, but there's a God. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, even John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word is God, and the same was in the beginning. You see, when we come to the Bible, we not only see that there was a beginning, but maybe most importantly, we see that there was a God in the beginning. Aren't you thankful for God tonight? Amen. Maybe you can type in the comments, there is a God. There is a God. And I don't know about you, but I love this God that I serve. I love this God that in the beginning created all that we have and all that we are. You know, the Bible tells us we can know God exists because of what we see in his created world. Psalms chapter 19, the first four verses explains it this way. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. You see, friends, when you look at the heavens, you know, we're getting ready to have this beautiful event that we know as a solar eclipse once in ever so, man, hundreds of years maybe at the most. You know, I know in 2017 we had a solar eclipse that came from the northwest down to the southeast, but coming April the 8th on a Monday, there's going to be this solar eclipse that comes up from Eagle Pass of all things. And specific, what's interesting about this eclipse is that it just basically includes the United States and maybe part of Nova Scotia. There's some powerful prophetic things that are being said about this this event that's coming up. And if you haven't listened, if you're listening to the mainline news, you're not going to hear what God is saying. But there are some powerful words that are being spoken about some deep understanding about what this solar eclipse represents in the spiritual realm as God is bringing this event to pass. But when you see these things, it just makes you know there's a God. There's a God who was in the beginning. There was a God who always was and always shall be. Romans 1:20 says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his external power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Friends, there's no excuse to not know that there is a God. Amen. When you look at everything there is, all of creation, it cries out, there is a God. No, there's not gods. There's a God, and we know him as Jehovah, Yahweh. We know his son as Yeshua, Messiah, God the Son. We know his Holy Spirit as well as Pneuma and Dunamis. We know him, friends, and he knows us. And when you come to the Bible, that's made known to you. There's a beginning. There's a God. There's also a plan. When you come to the Bible, you can see that God has a plan. You know, Jeremiah, he tells us, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, plans to do you good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. Can I tell you, friends, God had a plan. Amen. He took something that was void and darkness and that was a mess, and he created something and brought it into order. He created something out of nothing, friends, and made all that we have. God has a plan, And his plan from the very beginning was to get you to know him, the God that has a plan for your life, the God that has loved you before you ever was even thought of or came from the womb of your mother. There is a plan, and God wants you to spend his plan with him throughout eternity. So you, when you come to the Bible, there is a beginning, there is a God. You also see there is a plan, but you also see when you come to the Bible that this is a place where God speaks to you. Can I tell you, friends, God wants to speak to you, and that's what he's doing through his word. When we come and study God's word, God is speaking to you. And you know, maybe sometimes I might jumble some things up, or I don't make sense, or maybe I don't share all the full counsel, and I try and I want to. But friends, you read God's word, because it's in God's word where God wants to speak to you. We know that this is God's word because that's what 2 Timothy 3 tells us, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that you, the men and women of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped or furnished for every good work. Friends, God has given you this word so that he can equip you to be the man and to be the woman that he has created you to be. Friends, God loves you today. And when you come to the Bible, you can see that God wants to speak to you. You know, some scholars doubt whether there was a covenant with Adam. If you think about it, in the beginning, God just established everything. But when you break it down, I think we can see tonight that you know, maybe that word covenant wasn't spoken in Genesis to Adam, per se. It will be later to Noah and to Moses. But maybe to Adam, we don't see that word. But yet, we can see this covenant relationship that God had at the very beginning of creation. You know, the word covenant doesn't need to be present for a covenant to exist. Friends, can I tell you that you know, you can know God's love maybe before you even know God. God is love. And you know, when you look at his creation and when you look at all that God has made, you ought to feel a sense that there's somebody that loves me and cares for me, and I just want to know this person. Well, in any case, there is an agreement, I believe, made by a sovereign God. And in this case, there's this agreement, this covenant that I believe is made between God and between man, human beings, mankind, men and women. And I want to talk a little bit tonight for just a few minutes about the Adamic covenant or the Adamic covenant, just however you want to say that word, Adam or Adam. And I believe there's two parts to this covenant tonight. And the first part I see in the Adamic covenant is the part of blessings, expectations, and warnings. The first part of this covenant, expectations or blessings, expectations, and warnings. And I want to look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 30. And this is the New Living Translation. And listen to what God's word says. He's speaking to us, okay? Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, the livestock and all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Look what verse 28 through 30 says. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." Then God said, "Look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky and the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life." And that is what happened. So what do we see in the beginning? We see in the beginning God's creating of mankind and all that there is as well. And we could go back and begin at the very first part of chapter 1. But we see this covenant agreement that God is coming into with Adam and Eve and with mankind and maybe even with all of creation. Now, I said there are three things about this first part of the covenant. And the first part of that is that we see in this covenant with Adam and Eve, the covenant of blessings, this Adamic covenant, there is this agreement of blessings. What did God decide and what did God promise them as far as blessings? God said, I've created them in my image, right? I created them in my image, in my likeness. In other words, God has created us to be, first of all, representatives of His. As being created in His image and in His likeness, we are created to represent who God is. And you can see that in verse 20. God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female. He created them. Amen. That's a blessing. Did you know that we have been created as representatives of God? That's a blessing. We've not only been created as representatives, we've been created to resemble Him. And I see that in this word image and likeness. We've been created to resemble God. You see, when people see us, you know what they are to see? They are to see the resemblance of God. They are to see a representative of God. They are to also see a reflection of God. Friends, can I tell you that we've been created to reflect who God is? You know, as Christians, we are to be Christ-like, right? We are to reflect Christ in all our ways and all of our actions. We are to resemble Him in how we uphold our lives and live our lives. And we are to be representatives of God because God has created us in His image. And that's what He told Adam, or that's what He said in His word as He created Adam and as He created Eve. I have created them in my image. I see that as a part of this covenant to begin with, this first part. As a blessing, God created them to be like Him. But not only did He create Adam and Eve and mankind to be like Him, but look what else He did as a blessing. He gave them dominion. Amen. He gave them dominion. Then God blessed them. And He said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, govern it, reign. Amen. You see, friends, God has given mankind dominion over the things that God has created. In other words, as a part of this covenant agreement, we're not only to represent and reflect and to resemble God, but we are also been equipped to rule and to govern over God's creation. Yes. God has given us authority, friends, to speak. Amen. You know, to take care of God's creation. I know that there are people that go overboard on some of these things in our world today, the green theories and all these things. I love our planet. I do. And I want to take care of it, friends. But it's because God's given me the power to rule and to reign and to govern it. And I want to do my best to take care of what God has invested in. And trusted into our hands and into our lives. We have power to rule, friends. Did you know that we have power to speak? We have power to bless. We also have power to curse. And the Bible says blessing and cursing shouldn't come forth from the same mouth. Friends, can I just encourage you, be careful what you speak with your words because there's power to rule and to reign. Don't call out all the negative things that keep happening in your life, but call out the blessings of God. Speak those things because you have the power to rule over the enemy, to rule over the things that are coming against you. Speak life into your body. Speak life into your womb. Speak life into your family. Speak life into your finances, into your job or whatever it is. Rule and reign, friends, because God's created you and given you a covenant with Him. And can I tell you, friends, God always upholds His end of the deal, right? God always upholds His end of the covenant. So I see in this covenant with God that, first of all, God has blessed us. I also see in this covenant with God that there are also expectations from God for us. You know, look what He said in verse 28 to Adam. He said, God said to them, He blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and all the animals that scurry along the ground. If I didn't tell you already, we have these notes on our church app. If you want to go to Tithely on your app on your phone, and if you want to download the church app and then type in Vertical Life, and it will bring that up for you. And look under notes, it's there. Sorry, just thought I'd throw that plug in there. But look at what God expects from us. He expects us to be fruitful and to multiply. Be fruitful and to multiply.
I know fruitful in one sense was to what? Was to replenish the earth by bringing children into it, by having children and having relationships, a man and a woman. You know, in the beginning, God created a male and a female, and there was a reason that God created it that way, because there's this desire one for another, the true God-given desire to not only have intimate relationships, but also to what? Be fruitful and multiply. You see, that's an expectation that God has for us. You know, we look in this world today and say, I don't want, you know, for young adults, say, I don't want to be fruitful. There's so much negativity. There's so much evil in the world. And, you know, I don't want to raise kids in this day and time that have to deal with these kind of situations. You know, I feel for kids that are being raised in this time. But yet, you know, if God-fearing parents will take the responsibility to teach them the ways of the Lord, amen, to bring them to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ at a young age, will get them into a house of worship where they can be taught God's word, and will teach them truths, and will help shield them somewhat from the wicked evils of this world. I'm going to tell you what, friends, you can bring a child into this world that can make a difference. And I believe God wants to bring people to make a difference. I pray for the child in the womb. I do. I pray almost every day. I try to, if I remember to pray for the children that aren't born, I pray for the children that are born, that God would fill them with the Holy Spirit. Amen. That God would raise up a generation of revivalists and evangelists and God, people that will set the world on fire for his kingdom. But we have to be willing to be fruitful. And we can be fruitful in many ways, not just by bearing children, but we can be fruitful in our spiritual children that we disciple and witness to. And as we multiply God's word and multiply the church, come on, that's what it's all about, isn't it, as well? Is to bring people into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Fill them, invite them. God wants us to multiply. And friends, I believe that we've yet to see what God's going to do in this place. Multiplication is going to happen because I believe God is looking at some fruitful people in this place. He says, I expect you. Basically, that's what he's saying. I expect you to be fruitful and multiply. Fill, and look what else he said, fill and to govern. Fill and to govern, to rule, to be in control. Can I tell you, friends, the world's not supposed to control us, but we're supposed to control the world in God's ways and in God's eyes and in God's manners and God's leading and directing. We are to govern it and to fill it. Fill this world with hope. Fill this world with peace. Fill this world with joy. You know, God took something that was void and formless and was dark and, you know, creepy and all these things, and he turned it into something beautiful, and then he tells mankind to fill it up. The problem is that we filled it up with all the wrong things. We filled it up with personal ambitions and pride and arrogance and idolatry and deception. And God's wanting us to give this world what it longs for. You know, the world is moaning and groaning, friends, because it's looking forward to the day that it will be created anew, because mankind has destroyed the beauty that God has placed. I still believe there's a lot of beauty in this world, but I believe we've got to make some changes, right? What we put into the atmosphere, what we speak out of our mouths. I believe God expected Adam and Eve and all mankind to be fruitful and multiply, to fill and to govern, and then also to rule and to reign, or to reign. God wants us to reign over our world. Amen. Come on, friends. The world's not supposed to reign over you. You're supposed to reign over it. Amen. You're supposed to sit as resemblances and representatives and reflections of who God is. And when the world sees you, they see Jesus. You see, I believe these are expectations that is a part of this covenant with Adam, the blessings, the expectations. But also in this covenant with Adam, there is this warning that God gives. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 through 17, and maybe I didn't say this a while ago, but some believe that this first part of the covenant is also called the Edenic covenant. The Edenic covenant, like the Garden of Eden, the Edenic covenant, because this was where these things began. But God gives us warnings in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16. Look what God said. This is after they had partaken of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God had already confronted Satan, and he's confronting him as well. And look what the Lord, he warned him. He says, well, actually, I'm sorry, this is before. He says, you may freely eat of the fruit of every tree in the garden. This is his warning. You know, he's blessed them. He's given them wonderful expectations, given them dominion and all these things. But he gives them one warning. You may freely eat of the fruit of the tree in the garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He said, if you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. What is God's warning? Well, you know, God's given them everything that they need to enjoy and blessing. But there's just this one specific tree in the center of the garden that God has commanded them to stay away from. You know, you wonder why he put that tree there. Well, maybe God put it there because God had wanted you to make a choice that you would follow him and obey him on your own without being forced. You know, if God gave us everything beautiful and wonderful, if he gave us everything that made us feel good, you know, if he blessed our lives all the time without there being any struggles or any trials or any circumstances, then, you know, we would take our relationship with God. We would take this covenant with God for granted, wouldn't we? I don't think God wants evil on us. God doesn't wish us evil, but God gives us opportunities to make right decisions. And one of the warnings was not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because if they ate of that tree, their eyes would be open to right and wrong. You see, at this point, they didn't know wrong. They only knew the good that God had gave them, all the blessings and the right things. You see, friends, the warning was that if you eat of this tree, fruit of the tree, from good and knowledge of good and evil, then here's the thing, you were surely to die. You see, the warning was to eat meant sure death. Death. They didn't probably even fully understand what death was, because death was not a part of the vocabulary. It was not a part of what they understood, because, you know, at this point, God had just told them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish and fill and subdue and have dominion and rule and reign. Death, never heard of that before, but this was the warning that if you ate of this tree, you would die. You see, friends, when God makes covenants with us, there are always warnings. He did this for the children of Israel over and over again, and we'll see this in the next few coming weeks, that you know, there were requirements for them, but if they failed, there was also consequences for their disobedience. You know, friends, I want to do my part, and I want to honor God with all of my life and my heart. And, you know, yes, we do fail, and we do fall, and we make mistakes, but, you know, we have a representative that represents us in heaven, the Son, and he's our go-between to the Father. And, you know, if we come to him in repentance, you know, he forgives us if we're sincere about that. And the Holy Spirit that he's given us on earth quickens us, doesn't he? But you see, in this covenant agreement was not only blessings and expectations, but there was also warnings. Now, I told you that was the first part of the Adamic covenant, that I see blessings, expectations, and warnings. But I also see that there's a second part to this covenant. And let me just try to finish up. Hey, Sophia, good to see you. Debbie, Lord bless you guys for watching tonight. Genesis chapter 3. And the second part of this covenant is punishments and promise. Punishments and promise. Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 and 19. Then he, God, said to the woman, this is after they had eaten of the fruit, and this was after he had already spoken to the serpent, and this was God's punishment upon them. Then God, he said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth, and you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. And to the man, he said, since you listened to your wife and ate from, you know, it's kind of almost a double whammy, isn't it? Come on, guys. We lose if we don't, and we lose if we do, right? Sorry about that. That just kind of jumped out at me. He says, since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. In all your life, you will struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. By the sweat of your brow will you have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. For you were made from dust, and to dust you will return. So what do we see here? We see the punishment phase of this covenant because of their disobedience. You know, if they would have just been obedient, there was the blessings that God has, dominion, and to be images and light bearers, and to represent and reflect God and resemble God, and to be fruitful and multiply, fill and have dominion. But now, because of disobedience, we see that there's a punishment to into this covenant agreement. As a result of Adam's sin, the following curses were pronounced. There was enmity between Satan and Eve and her descendants. There'd always be this battle. You know, what he did in the garden was only just the very beginning of the struggle that was going to take place for all eternity, or for all creation, I should say, here on earth. There's battle between Satan and between Eve and her descendants. There was also going to be this painful childbirth for women. You know, and ladies, I don't know what it would have been like in the garden for you. You know, evidently it wasn't going to be painful to have children and be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And any ladies watching can say amen. But because of this sin, there's painful childbirth for women. There's also, it said that there is marital strife. There is always this butting of heads, it seems like, between men and women, just struggling to survive. And, you know, there's so many things that cause disagreements, finances and other things, just so many things that we butt heads against. But it's all because of this disobedience that resulted from this eating of the fruit of the tree of the garden. It's been lingering over our heads for thousands of years. It is also said that the soil was cursed. The Lord told Adam that he would have to till the soil. He would have to work with the sweat of his brow just to survive and make a living and support his family. And so we see there's this struggle always, and we live it as well. We struggle sometimes just to get by and make ends meet and just to produce what needs to produce. And it all comes back from this disobedience in this covenant relationship. We also see the introduction of thorns and thistles. Amen. There's these things that are always, you know, maybe this was literally thorns and thistles that they would have to deal with in the earth. But I just almost think in the garden there wasn't thorns and thistles. You know, the rose bushes didn't have thorns. You know, it was all beautiful stems and beautiful flowers. And, you know, there wasn't any of those nettles and any of those sticker burrs. You know, remember you ever stepping on a sticker burr when you was a kid, or maybe since then? There wasn't any of these things, cactus thorns that could cause you pain or harm. It was just a beautiful landscape, a beautiful place. But now even nature itself is turning against us. There was also just this need to survive that would be a struggle. The punishment was that we were to survive. And for Adam and Eve, they would have to survive, yes. And it would be a struggle for them to survive and just make a living as well, and to raise their food and to raise their livestock, to provide not only food but clothing and roofs over their head and all the things that they needed to live and to have their being on earth. And then also we see that because of the sin of Adam and Eve and this covenant relationship, that the punishment was death was introduced. Death was introduced to the world. And ultimately death will be the inescapable fate of all living things because of this disobedient to this covenant. You know, friends, God has made a covenant with us, and we're going to look at that in a few weeks, the covenant that we have with Jesus Christ. But because of the new covenant, friends, we have life now. Yeah, we might have death in this world, but friends, death has been overcome by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We have hope of a better tomorrow in what Jesus has done for us. But this covenant with Adam and Eve in the very beginning, because of disobedience, brought the punishment of death. But can I tell you, friends, that even though there was punishment to this covenant relationship, there was also a promise. Friends, God always has a promise for you. How many know God's a God of grace? Maybe put in there, God is my amazing grace. God is my amazing grace. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Let me just finish up. And this is the Message translation. It says, God told the serpent, because you've done this, you're cursed. Cursed beyond all cattle and wild animals. Cursed to slink on your belly and eat dirt all your life. I am declaring war between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He'll wound your head and you'll wound his heel. You see, friends, although these curses and punishments were severe and maybe inescapable like death, there was still this wonderful promise of grace that was included in the Adamic covenant. God promised that one day there would be the seed of a woman. The seed of a woman that even though he would be wounded in the process, he would ultimately crush the head of that serpent, Satan. And his name is Jesus. You see, in the very beginning, friends, the very early first covenant that God had with mankind, he also gave us hope. and a promise that one day somebody was coming that was going to deliver us and provide us hope and victory over all these things that combat our lives, over sin, sickness, death, hell, the grave. Aren't you thankful today for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ? Aren't you thankful that you can have a covenant with God? And aren't you thankful that God always fulfills his end of the covenant relationship? Friends, when you gave your heart to Jesus Christ, you didn't do it for just a short period of time or just to satisfy a need, hopefully. But when you come into a covenant with the Lord, you come into a covenant of life for a lifetime. And friends, lifetime here on earth is very short compared to the eternity we'll have with him in heaven. So let me just encourage you, friends, if you've ever made a covenant with Jesus and you've walked away from that covenant, or maybe you haven't fulfilled your end of it, then tonight is a wonderful opportunity for you to come before a covenant-making God and to accept what God has provided for you in forgiveness and blessings and expectations and a promise. I want to pray for you tonight as we close. If you don't mind, would you join with me? Father, I thank you. God, I thank you for the promises you've given us in your word. God, I thank you for the hope that you've given us in your word, for the covenant agreements that you have given man throughout the centuries, the years. Lord, as people have lived on this earth from the very beginning of time, you've always made a way for them and provided for them a covenant, a relationship that they can have with you, that you would take care of them and bless them as they followed you in obedience. Lord, I pray that we would be an obedient people. Maybe somebody's watching tonight that doesn't feel like they've been that obedient to you. They feel like that they made even a covenant agreement with you years ago, but they've walked away from that, and they've failed to live up to their part of this agreement that you have given us with you. And I pray that, Lord, that tonight that something is stirring up inside of them, that God, they'd want to renew this relationship. God, they'd want to serve you fully and faithfully. And God, they'd want to walk under your blessings and under the provisions that you have for them, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would forgive them and come into their heart and restore them, Lord, as they ask you to faithfully and obediently, Father, and repentantly. Lord, we bless you tonight. Thank you for those that are here watching. Lord, just ask you to be with them the rest of this week. Protect them, guide them, lead them, cover them, supply their every need, Father, and help them be obedient to the covenant they have with you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, Lord bless you guys, man. Thanks for everybody that's here watching. Yes, God is my amazing grace. Amen. He is. That song said there's no other word for grace but amazing, right? Well, I appreciate you. Love you. Look forward to being with you Sunday, okay, at 10:30, our Resurrection Sunday service. And look forward to you coming and bring a friend, bring somebody. But you come and be a part and just pray and ask God to prepare your heart for what he wants to say to us at our service on Sunday. So love you guys and look forward to being with you on Sunday. Good night.